I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. The Utah Jazz are up by almost 30 right now against the Cleveland Cavaliers, Scott. It feels good. Third quarter, 2 minutes left, and boy, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The Jazz are your possible NBA champions for this year, and I would defy anybody. What is this, a day and a half removed from me saying this is the worst team I've ever seen? It's just the up-and-down nature of sports. That's why we're here, Scott. This is why we do our show. As Rudy Gobert just has been getting swats all over this court this evening, it's good to see a smile on his face. We're kicking things off, though, not with the Utah Jazz, but we're going to do things like we always do with the 705 cut. We got to talk about this college football season because, boy, just so many things went on. The national championship last night, I'm curious as to your thoughts because we weren't here together when it actually finished, but it was a blowout win, and it's a 705 cut. Let's see.
The cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Troll poll of the day, Scott. You ready for this?
Bring it on. I'm ready. Let's have it.
By the way, the cut is always brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Visit Wasatch Medical Clinic if you're sick of pills and you're dealing with ED. WasatchMedicalClinic.com for a free offer. Scott, I don't know. What were your thoughts at the end of all of it? We were in awe of just how good Alabama has been.
Well, no, you're going to give me the poll.
Oh, the troll poll's this.
The troll poll, Chris.
Was it worth it? Was this college football season in 2020 to 2021 now, was it worth it? And we've got a lot of folks who weighed in already, but I'm curious as to your thoughts because my thought was, and I think a lot of BYU observers, and of course we do a lot of that here at the home of the Cougars here on KSL News Radio, but I think BYU fans would say absolutely because it was an amazing season. Zach Wilson say best season ever, right? But here's the deal. Was it worth it going through all of that to be able to have maybe what is a bigger disparity in college football now with Alabama winning 52-24 last night and just looking like not just the class of college football, but really looking like nobody else is close. And it just felt like it wasn't really the type of ending you wanted to a season that tried really hard to get a season going.
So Alabama was amazing. I mean, really. I mean, they were remarkable. And you say, well, maybe these other teams didn't really matter that much. If you remember, Ohio State was vehemently arguing and petitioning, one, to be able to play the season because they felt like they had the best team they've ever had ever at Ohio State. And then they're petitioning to get into their league championship game because they, you know, COVID was going to eliminate them from that, which would have eliminated them from the playoffs. And so you have Ohio State, who's a team that really wanted to play football, because I don't think a lot of teams really wanted to play football this year. I really don't. So there's a part of me that says, most of college football, I would say a majority of the schools and the teams were probably half in it. And I think a lot of it boiled down to fans. I think it boiled down to testing. I think it boiled down to canceled games, late starts, you know, schedules being minimized. And I think it weighs on everyone. And so it's hard to get into it. But if you're a BYU fan, like, nobody handled it better than BYU. And if you're a Utah fan, it was actually a remarkable season as well, in the sense that all these young players got to play and got game experience for Utah, which is phenomenal. And it didn't count, right? It was just like, yeah, this is just like a freebie. And then on top of that, if you're a Utah fan, and I say this, I kind of laugh, Alex, but I say this in all seriousness, Utah did not lose to BYU this year, and it probably would have been the year that they lost. And so you have to say, yes.
As long as you'll say that, like, honestly, as long as you'll say, yeah, look, it was good they didn't play BYU. They could have probably lost this year. That's almost good enough for BYU fan. The moral victory is almost good enough for BYU.
But see, everybody wins. That's my whole point. Initially, when we talked about this, I was like, this college football season, everyone hates it. It's a waste. It's an absolute joke. This is terrible, right? And I feel that way. I think a lot of teams just weren't into it. But then as I thought about it, it's like there were some actually really good things that came out of this. And quite frankly, I think a team, and people will roll their eyes at me, I don't care. Roll your eyes all you want. I think a team like BYU or Cincinnati should have had a shot in the playoffs. I really wish BYU would have won.
Why would people roll their eyes about that? Because considering now how the playoff went and how bad those games were,
right,
and how big of the blowouts they were. I mean, listen, you're talking about two semifinal games that were not close, and you're talking about a national championship game that was even less close. And so why would anybody – like this? There are plenty of people who go, what are you going to lose out on? A couple of teams with some big-time Cinderella slippers on, which is exactly what we look forward to in college basketball. And so college football needs to take the next step, and that is nothing's going to change. The problem is it was worth it for the right now. Just like, you know, that just like that burrito on your way home at midnight is quote-unquote worth it in that moment, yes, it is. That's what 2020 – Scott, that's what 2020 football was. It was just that bad decision burrito late going in. You're eating that thing at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and you went, that's the best burrito I've ever had. 4 a.m. comes around, and you go, maybe not such a good decision, but you know what? I liked it in the moment. But maybe it doesn't end up being a good decision overall, because what you end up getting is a bigger disparity. College football has gotten worse in a lot of programs. It's gotten better at the ones that you don't really want it to get better at for there to be some sort of parity in the game. Alabama's going to continue to get better. Did you see the aw shucks moment last night from Nick Saban after the game? Oh, I just did this for the kids, man. Nothing matters except for these kids got to play in the national championship game. And I'm like,
But don't you know how coaches talk, Alex?
I know. This Aflac hack over here.
Whatever.
Just rolling with this thing. And I'm telling you.
Nobody's going to care about this season.
And BYU fans will care.
Except for BYU fans.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that you're in this weird spot. And Alabama's in this spot, too. Alabama is going best championship ever. Because what he did with the aw shucks thing was, this may be the most difficult championship I've ever won out of the seven that I've got in my back pocket now. And you go, no, really, was it? Because you weren't challenged in any game except for one, for a half of football. So was it the hardest one, or was it just that it was different because you had to do so much of the testing protocols and all these things? I don't think college football got better, but it was worth it because, selfishly, Scott, I got to watch college football every week. I got to go to Lavelle Edwards Stadium to cover BYU. My kids got to go to a couple games at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. So was it worth it? Yes. The answer is, for the short term, yes, absolutely. The morning you might not feel very good, but guess what? Going forward, I think that this is a good deal. Think about those young guys up at Utah, Scott. Of course this is a good season for them.
Well, the thing about them and most people is it was weird, okay? And so it's like, okay, fine, it's called. And that to me, the whole season was just weird. The first game I broadcast on the radio, I go, this is silly. Like, this is really silly.
What do you mean silly? Like stupid? Well, like, I can't believe
you're
doing
this? Come on. Really, this isn't college football. And you heard it. You heard it from Kyle Whittingham. Kyle Whittingham even goes, I'm not going to lie to you. Okay? I have my head down and I'm pretty focused in a college football game. I'm dialed in, which you know he is,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah, you see it on his face.
And he goes, but I got to admit, you know, I look up and I go, there are no fans. And I look at the south end zone and I go, and there's construction. And there's no noise. And there's no atmosphere whatsoever. And when you – and if you don't have any atmosphere, it's just hard. It's just so hard. And so then he – you know, you hear him talk about – it's 3 hours a day just to get every one of our personnel and our players through the testing, just to know, are we going to be able to play this week? It's three additional hours that we have to add to everything that we're doing. So, yeah, I know, believe me, and it could have been really weird for BYU too. I mean, Tom Homo goes, hey, if the Big 12 doesn't go, we don't go, you know, so just by the skin of their teeth, BYU has this incredible season. And I'm not knocking it at all. I'm just saying, but it was completely different and completely unexpected and completely strange and odd. So this was a very weird, odd, unconventional season in college football that I think pretty much everyone, even I know it's winning national championships. I know BYU had what they consider probably one of the best years they've ever had. But most people are going to want to go, can we just get on to next season? And hopefully next season there's some semblance of normalcy to it. Because right now, who knows?
What program do you think was like, this was the worst year? Like, they were like, beyond this is not worth it.
Oh, I'll tell you, almost every team in the Big Ten.
Everybody except for Ohio State.
And
Ohio
even
State
the Pac-12.
Like,
I mean, I would almost say almost every team in the Pac-12.
I would say Penn State. Like, just like a team that just got absolutely kicked in the gut. And, yeah, you know, because there was
that was my first blush.
Look, Northwestern, a heck of a year, right?
Yeah.
Ohio State, you could see why they were begging for that season to come back. All right, we're going to come back. We got more to talk about with college football and the college football season. The Troll Poll, I'll give you some of those results we've got on our Twitter page, KSL's Unrivaled on Twitter. We'll come right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Score update for the Jazz game as well.
Alrighty, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell on this end, Alex Keery on the other end, and we've got you covered all the way in between. Alex,
what's up, Scott?
Did you? So there's of course a documentary out on Tiger Woods. Did you watch it?
I haven't seen it yet, but
just came out.
Yeah.
And you know, I've already watched Netflix.
I've like seen the full, all of it. You finished it during COVID?
Yeah, so I'm up to speed on everything. So the minute something comes out new, I'm all.
Yeah, you're on it. Yeah. Did you see it then?
Yeah.
Does it do a good job of kind of the – and what is it? Is it kind of focused on his career or just everything?
Okay. It's in multiple episodes. So the first episode, you know, dropped. And most of it's kind of the making of Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
So a lot
the 4-year-old video of him on the Tonight Show and everything.
And it's got Bob Hope and it's got Jimmy Stewart and he's on the Merv Griffin show.
He's
a cute little kid that says he's got to go to the bathroom, basically, is all that comes out of the interview. There's so many things about it, but one of them was, so I had an endorsement arrangement with Nike when I was playing football.
Yeah.
And it was a monetary endorsement, right? And they said, we're sorry, we're going to take away the monetary endorsement, and we're putting everything we have
into this kid
Tiger Woods.
Wow. And this is like late 90s. You're going,
yes, like 1996.
Who you know? Is this? Like, I've never heard of him.
Whatever.
Yeah,
that's a dumb move. It's like, and you're Nike. You're not even in golf,
right?
Right. You know. And it's just like,
by the way, in retrospect, best move ever by them. I mean, it's like well, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods,
right? And that's what they say. They go, we're looking for the next Michael Jordan. You know, and I guess I didn't fit the bill.
How on earth?
I don't know why. I don't know.
How on earth though? Like, would you like?
It was fascinating, though.
What a gamble to think we're looking for the next. Michael Jordan, and we're going to find him in this old guy sport. I mean, that's what it was growing up, Scott.
Well, it was the one. It was a very, you know, one. You know,
It's a nationality, chubby old white guy. Yes. A
bunch of white, old white, rich people.
Yes, and that was the thing. Is like, okay, so that's the Michael Jordan. There's just no way that would be what you mean. Who it would end up being?
But it comes out in the documentary, and he said, "Look, I really want to turn golf on its ear. There are golf courses that I'm not allowed to play on.
That's insane. That's in the '90s. You know,
right.
It's like how on earth would." You know, to think that we've come this far, and to think too, you know, the 4.5 lifetimes that he's lived since that moment when he was, you know, at Stanford, you know, coming up and about to win the Masters in the mid, you know, '90s, to now, how far he's come to, just again, all the weirdness that's gone on in his life since then. It's insane.
Well,
so that's pretty cool to watch. Or I'm excited to see it because I'm
the thing that
fascinated
I came,
by
yeah,
guys
the
like
thing
him.
That I came away from it was it really his dream? Like, I'm sure he loved golf and all that, but it felt like more of what his father
something
wanted.
Something that Earl wanted for him,
And, I mean, he wanted him to be like, you know, a Muhammad Ali or a Mahatma Gandhi, someone who changed the world.
He kind of has been, though, right? I mean,
He
sort of fell off that path, you know, in 2008, 2009.
Well, that's the fun part about the whole documentary, Alex, is it goes through all of this – like stuff and his rise and him holding the four major championships at one time, and then they cut to they have this woman who's kind of sitting down and she kind of settles into a chair and she goes, what are we talking about?
Oh boy.
And that ends it, and you're like, oh, this is gonna get interesting.
So it's Elon then.
No, because he's already met her and married her.
Oh, you're talking about some of the extra curriculars,
the ones that got the golf club thrown through the window of the vehicle.
That was like in your old neighborhood too.
It was
like, could you drive to that place right now if I said, hey, take me to that fire hydrant.
Well, you couldn't get in, but yeah.
Oh, right. Yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. To think how far that he's come. So I'm interested in that. What's the name of the documentary?
Tiger.
All right.
And it's not Tiger King either. It's just Tiger.
No.
Just,
right?
It's a difference.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of which one has more scandal in it. You know what
I
mean?
Like, Tiger is going to get Tiger King-ish here in a few minutes.
It's like kind of a dead heat between Tiger and Tiger King right now. There's no, like, I guess there's no... I mean, he's the Carol Baskin and the Tiger King all in one. Like he's all the characters. He's the protagonist and the antagonist all in the same thing.
Yep.
Lots going on.
Anyways, hey, fascinating.
I'm interested in that stuff. I love anything that just the history of where these things come from. Like you think you know the story too. That's one of those stories. I think of Tiger Woods and exactly where I was. When I heard the story, you know, when you heard what happened, when you heard that there's helicopter, you know, video of this crashed SUV and the alleged beating with a golf club by his wife and all these things that are going on. I remember it was right after Thanksgiving and I was at my sister's house and I'm watching this thing and I'm just entranced. I'm like, this is Tiger Woods, man. And honestly, there's that weird part of you that goes, oh man, is he gonna be ready for the Masters in April? Like, you're like, but he's gonna come back and still be the guy, and he really hasn't. I mean, he has made a bit of a comeback, but there's OJ. I think about like where you were when you found it, when you heard certain things about these guys like OJ. Like, I remember where I was for
The Kennedy assassination. Where you?
No,
were
I don't
that
go back thing? That far, Scotty. But
9/11.
But you see
stuff.
What I'm saying? Yeah. Like those things, these massive events, they're covered so much.
Well, it's such a shock because these are amazing athletes. I mean, these are generation. They're like best of all time. Kind of athletes, and to see the very human side of them and to see the fall, because that's where it was for Tiger. And it's a question I really think is was it really his dream? Because it's almost like he self-sabotaged himself out of becoming, you know, some people might argue that he's not the greatest golfer of all time. And you just wonder if he just didn't do that, like subconsciously just derailed basically his whole opportunity to win more majors than Jack Nicklaus and really become the greatest of all time.
5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Jazz up 106-75 in Cleveland. Everybody having a game. It's a good one for the Jazz. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Their game tomorrow, though, has been postponed. We'll talk about that as well. Dave McCann from KSL 5 Television going to join us next. He's our in-house BYU historian. He's going to tell us historically where this BYU team lands now that they've gotten that final ranking, where they are historically among the great teams in BYU history. Stay with us after news, traffic, and weather on KSL News Radio.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. These are my favorite. These are my favorite kind of games for the Jazz. They're up by 29. A bunch of guys on the bench getting in, and this game got over. I mean, it was just barely over 2 hours. That's how I like my basketball game, Scott, is just the Jazz win by a lot, and it goes quick.
Well, you've complained about the Jazz, but they're one game out of first place. The Lakers are 8-3. The Jazz are 7-4. The Clippers and the Suns.
I call them the second place in the West, Utah Jazz. So there you go. They're going to win this thing. They're up 30 now as they dribble this thing out there in Cleveland. 117-87 going to be your final from Cleveland. Joining us right now on the program, he's in the booth right next to me here. Do we have enough panes of glass between us, Dave McCann? You feel safe enough now?
Yeah, just don't sneeze.
Through those six panes of glass. All right, we brought Dave in, and Dave comes on the show quite often. So this is it's not new for us, but it's a new year for
can
us.
Can I ask
so.
Scott a question just right off the bat?
Darn right you can.
Of course you can.
The driver's license on your car, does that have something to do with your jersey number?
And the driver's license?
License plate. Does that have something to do with your jersey number and like 17 forever or something?
Huh?
Well, first of all, he was 19. It's inappropriate. Okay. Right. Well, are you asking?
I saw a car the other day. They had a 17 forever thing,
yeah.
And I thought, there's only one guy I know that would put all that on his license plate.
Here's what I put on my license plate.
So that apparently it wasn't you. Okay. I'm glad I didn't honk.
No. When I was at the U, I did have a personalized license.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And you know what? It was UQB.
You can't get away with stuff like that now.
Well,
you
no, I would never do it now. Yeah, but you know the interesting thing, and this was true.
Owned Ute QB as your.
I still have the license plate. Yeah, it was. I thought it was cool at the time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it on there now. But I would put like KSL forever.
Oh, there you go.
That's what I would do. Look, whenever I played somewhere. So like when I was in high school, I wore my Letterman's jacket every day of the year.
In high school.
And never put it on again when I graduated.
Right.
Same thing in college. But the funny thing is when I got to the pros, you don't wear the gear. All right. That is not a cool thing to do.
You didn't wear your own jersey like in the mall in Michigan?
or wear like a Detroit Lions sweatshirt or anything like that. Now I wore it at work.
Was that like an unspoken rule? It's like you don't wear Dolphins gear.
Could you imagine,
town.
Dave? Could you imagine going into the newsroom and putting on sweats every day for work? That's what I did every day. Like I'd go to work and I'd put sweats on.
Well, listen.
What a fun job, right?
Yeah, that is a fun job.
If you can
keep it, you should have it.
Yeah, you don't know what Dave wears underneath the desk. Man.
Well, no, I've seen Dave in his T-shirt, his Cubs T-shirt. You know,
yeah.
You're
like Mr. Rogers though, because you have that little rack over there by your desk, and you're like you get done. You come into the office, and it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Like it's like
it's always a beautiful day in the neighborhood coming into the office. But we have to wear suits now because the consultant said people like to see you guys standing.
Oh, they do.
So
yeah,
in Vegas, we'd wear shorts. Shorts.
Dick Norris used to do this. Do the the short pants.
That was kind of a thing back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
I've already labeled you as the in-house BYU historian. Is that offensive or is that like that's a good title? That's kind of like you're the go-to guy when it comes to the past and the present and hopefully the future with BYU when it comes to kind of giving us some perspective. And so with BYU's number 11 ranking in the AP. I was wanting to know historically where this team stands because, and I want the best shake possible on this as to where this team is because Alabama gets done and they have an amazing season, but at the same time, it was kind of a weird season. It was kind of the easiest national championship that they've ever won. I mean, they really were not challenged in any game.
Which is strange because they played their toughest schedule of all SEC games.
Right. It was just a strange year and teams were not 100% and, you know, we don't have to explain how weird the season was. But BYU fans would agree, hey, man, amazing year, 11-1. You finished ranked 11th in the AP poll. Where does this team rank, though, with the 96 team, with the 2001 team, with the the 1980, the 1990 team, or the 1984 national championship team even? Where are they going to be shaking out? Try to throw the recency bias out there. Put yourself 20-plus years in the future. Where are they going to be looked at?
I don't know. This is such a different year. They'll be remembered, I think, a lot because – well, if Zach goes on and has a great NFL career, there'll be a constant reminder of this year. And if some of the other guys go on and have good years, there'll be a constant reminder of, as Kyle Van Noy succeeds in the NFL, everyone remembers what he did at the Poinsettia Bowl. As Taysom continues to do what he's doing in the NFL, everyone remembers what he did against Texas. Not necessarily that he was hurt all four seasons. When you think about it, he was and this and that. But they think about the good things, so I think a lot has to do with what happens now with these guys, how they do this coming season and beyond. But I don't think you can compare them back then. This year was too weird. And it's not just because of the teams they played, because as Scott will attest, back in the WAC days, the schedules weren't great. You know, the year that BYU won the national championship, they played Pittsburgh to start the season, and they were ranked number three, and they went on to have a lousy season. So there was this – they didn't play an SEC schedule. They just beat everybody
right.
And got the national title. But
and everyone else lost, too.
Everyone that needed to lose lost. And so I just think this year was – the magnitude or magic of this season really rides on how Zach does as an NFL quarterback, because this was the year – under all of that, this was the year that he rose up from the ashes, so to speak, and is going to be a first-round draft pick, maybe the second quarterback taken. And last August, if we were to have this conversation, we would debate who was going to be the starting quarterback.
That's interesting to think. If he does well in the NFL, we'll look even more favorably on this season.
Because this was his year.
The greatness is magnified of this team in 2020 based on how this kid does in the
NFL. But it kind of tells you maybe the talent level of certain players. I mean, because you don't really know you don't see the full potential like a Fred Warner. You know that Fred Warner is considered one of the top linebackers in the NFL and plays remarkable, and yeah, he was a good player at BYU, but I don't think you really saw the full scope of his talent, you know, until it's a very interesting point to kind of Look at Daniel Sorensen. But it's very true.
Daniel Sorensen was a good football player at BYU. He's a Super Bowl champion in the NFL. But if he walked past you without his Chiefs jersey on, he would just keep walking past you. You wouldn't even know who he is.
Yeah.
But his NFL career has solidified his BYU career.
He's got that Chiefs DB license plate. That kind of like everybody knows who he is.
You know, you have to do those things.
Think about
okay?
Ty.
You have to do those things.
You think about Ty Detmer. People remember the year he won the Heisman. But they don't remember the year after that when he was a senior.
Yeah.
It's all, they beat Miami and had this great year that I can't really remember except they were good and he won the Heisman. Because he won the Heisman and he's been and he went on to the NFL, and whether or not he was a star in the NFL or not, he was around the NFL always and always being talked about, that he's a beloved character of BYU, and it all goes back to the solidifying season for him was beating Miami and winning the Heisman Trophy, so...
I wonder, like, you know, how this sits and how BYU fans are thinking about this season. There's an amazing amount of gratitude, too, Dave, where people go, man, I'm just glad the season went off. I think about being in that stadium and sitting in the press box and going, hey, man, we're here.
Yeah.
You know, like, how many weeks did I walk by your desk and go, like, is there going to be another game in a couple weeks? And it was like, keep your ear to the ground. The answer is yes. I can't officially say yes, but wink, you know, and they did it.
You know, and the only weird thing about the season is that they didn't play Utah and a chance to beat Utah. And so
probably would have won this year.
Probably, but that's just kind of still out there as kind of we played a season and they hardly did. And I think had we played Utah and beat them, there would be a little more of a
that would have even been a better year.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Dave, you want to hang out a little bit longer?
Oh, yeah. I'm contracted for two segments.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll be contracting all
the time.
But
he also
has to
be quarantined while he's
contracted. I got a lot to say to Scott.
We're going
to
take the break here. We'll come back. When we return, we've got some MVPs out there, and Dave's going to still kind of give us some perspective. Plus, another award for Zach Wilson. This one was the most head-scratching out of all of them for me. I didn't know where this one was coming from, but you know what? I think he deserves it. All the awards Zach Wilson could get. Stay right here with us. More to go. Jazz win by 30 tonight. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled KSL.
The second place Jazz, Alan.
You trust KSL for news and information in your car.
All right. Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Curry, and of course, because he's contractually obligated, Dave McCann for a second episode. And by the way, the Jazz did win by 30 points, and it gets better, Alex. I don't know if you know this, but the Jazz are in sole possession of first place in the Northwest Division.
I knew you were going
there. Yeah, 7-4. Yeah. They're a game ahead of the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, and watch out for Minnesota. They creep up on this in that division too every once in a while. That's like the most farce of divisions that we have is in the NBA. People couldn't name them. You know, in all the other places they're important and they can and they're named. All right, it's that time of the night. I'm going to play the music here. Dave McCann's going to jump in and hang out with us here till the top of the hour since we have him. So we have him in the building. We just go, look, just come jam with us for a minute, man. It's the MVPs. Let's do it.
Unrivaled. The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crown tonight's most valuable player, according to Scott.
Uh-huh.
According to Alex.
Most valuable player.
Before we get into the MVPs here real quick, Dave, do you think that there was an article we talked about yesterday on the show about how the West is just pretty far behind when it comes to the rest of the to the East, really. Really the Big Ten and the SEC when it comes to football. And the ACC, obviously, with Clemson. Is that something that could be overcome? Is it just cyclical? But, I mean, it's been 2005.
Yeah, you can just have the sun rise from the West and go to the East. Then we get everything
time.
First.
2005 was the last time a team in the West won the national championship, and that was that's BCS era USC, man.
With the Pac-12 totally underperforming, it kills the West. Because Boise State and BYU will be good, but they're only going to get certain spots, like we saw this year. But when you've got your P5 league out in the West that can't get it done, then you're not even a player. I mean, think of the team they sent to the Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, my heavens.
And it's like and then you watch Alabama play, and Alabama's like a professional team. But Ohio State is, you know,
they look
last
terrible.
10 years they've had the one or two recruiting class, and they destroy everybody and this and that, or they, at least they win most of their games, and they've won national championships, and they hardly even competed in that game last night. That was what was surprising to me. I thought, okay, well, you know what? Here are the two best programs over the last umpteen years playing for tonight's national title, and Alabama just played with them. It was interesting to watch because everyone else seems to be so much further back from those two teams over the last decade.
Yeah,
the Pac-12. Yeah, the Pac-12. The only way it changes is when they make it a priority. It's just not. It's not a priority. It starts from the leadership in the conference. There's not a priority to be relevant on a national stage. And there's programs that can do it. I mean, USC can be, a perennial playoff contender and should be every single year. They have the capability of recruiting the top players in the entire country. Oregon, same thing. You know, Washington, there are programs in the Pac-12 that can do it, but I don't know that the universities really care that much. I mean, you just get a sense that football is not a priority in a lot of these schools. And you talk about it being the conference of champions, and there are some of these other sports that have, and I'm not knocking any of these sports, but if you really want to be relevant in the national stage on what people really care about, that's football, it has to matter. And I don't know that it does in the Pac-12.
Well, and a good point is that USC's hung on to their coach for the last few years when they've had opportunities to go get bigger and better that cost a lot more, that put you on the grand stage, and they just have chosen to stick with Helton and kind of, you know, they're part of the problem. They're just down there. And until USC is a national player, I think, having grown up here in the West, that it doesn't matter for any of the Pac-12. Oregon can have a big year, or Utah could have a big year, or Washington. But until it's USC, I don't think the East Coast even cares.
As we were looking at some of these, I thought about the Fiesta Bowl specifically, too, where I go, how embarrassing is that, where you send a team who was a backup team to go to the conference championship game in the first place, and they go to this game, and it's an insult to, you know, the other teams that are going to these bowl games. And think about Utah, how long it took them to get to, you know, you think about the Sugar Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl and getting that relevance there. And then the Fiesta Bowl this year is like, who you got? I don't know. I guess, sure. Well, let him play or whatever.
It's interesting that Utah didn't get to those games as a P5 school. They got to those games from the Mountain West.
Exactly. And so I think that Scott's right. You know, we were talking about the contract extension with Kyle Whittingham. That guy wants to go to the Rose Bowl. I mean, there's like, look, whatever we can do, let's figure out how to get to the Rose Bowl. I'm going to extend just so we could try to get there.
They've had so many chances. So many chances.
But I'll tell you what's different from when I was there and even from moving back to Utah, from living out of the state, is that they can have that conversation now. They're in the conference where the conference champion goes to the Rose Bowl.
Right.
And that didn't exist before. And I know that, you know, going to two Pac-12 championship games, knowing you win this game, you go to the Rose Bowl. And that's a different conversation that's never happened at Utah that they've been able to have.
Yeah. I'm going to go quick here on my MVPs. You ready for this?
Yeah.
My MVP goes to Zach Wilson, who was named the co-player of the year for the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And it was Zach Wilson, of Hawaiian ancestry. Now, his middle name is Kapono, right? Isn't that what
his dad's got the blood.
So when I see him as the Polynesian player of the year, and I initially went like this. You know what? Not a bad pick, because of all the awards that are out there, it's like he got passed up with all of these things. Because it's just the Mac Brown, Trevor Lawrence, and who did I already say? Mac
Kyle
Jones.
Trask.
Oh yeah, and Kyle Trask. That's
and Justin Fields.
That's all you wanted to talk about, were these quarterbacks from all these big schools. Because as soon as they lost to Coastal Carolina, boom, poof.
But
he's still the second best quarterback in the draft, probably. Which is, you know, kind of the only thing that matters.
And one yard probably cost Kalani Coach of the Year.
Could you imagine?
Zach, finalist in the Heisman, and BYU potentially a New Year's Six game.
At least in a New Year's Six
game of interest.
1 yard.
Yeah,
that's what makes it fun.
Scott, your MVP real quick here before we
My MVP is Alabama, and I hate Alabama, but I actually I enjoyed watching. They're just so impressive. It's just
amazing. Believe it. I just cannot believe how good those guys are. Dave McCann.
My MVP is Mike Hedrick, who enjoyed the Cleveland Browns advancing in the playoffs for the first time in, I think, his lifetime.
That's good. And then we can get him back tonight with the Jazz winning by 30 over the Cavs.
Yeah, and so. Ohio State, that didn't go over
That didn't go over well either.
But he's got the Browns.
There you go. Dave, thanks for hanging out, man. We always love when you
anytime. Thanks, guys.
Taking the break here. We'll come back. Second hour of the program. We got tons to talk about still. When we return, my goodness, we've got a lot to discuss. When it comes to how big this college football season is coming up, so many things have to happen. TV contracts are in the works. All these things for college football to get better in the country here. So let's take a break here. We'll come back. News, traffic, and weather right now. Excuse me. We'll be right back. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Dave McCann walks out of the studio. We appreciate Dave and KSL 5 News at 10 o'clock. You can see him, Deanie Wimmer, calling the shots there on the old television, Scott. So, yeah, I was a little. I was glad that Zach Wilson won. An award.
So, do you have to be Polynesian to win that award?
I think that you have to have some sort of ancestry, and his dad. And I guess his dad has Hawaiian ancestry. So there you go. So I'm just. I'm not going to question it. His middle name is Kapono. You know. So you know.
You know what my middle name is?
No! I know this. This is a trick question for the audience listening in. William Scott Mitchell.
Oh,
there you go.
So, go by my middle name.
Yeah, you're one of those guys. Nah, I didn't like my first name. I'm going to go with this one, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, since
was
I had...
Was it the rebellious teen in you that was
no,
like,
I didn't
stop
want...
calling me William, I'm Scotty.
No, woo! Actually, I didn't want to do that. I had to just for the sake of, like, lack, you know, so I wasn't confused.
Did anybody call you Bill?
I had grandpas on both sides and great-grandpas on both sides who were all Williams.
Oh, yeah.
My dad was a William.
Yeah.
And so was I. So, and Scott has no... nothing. It's yeah, just yeah. a name.
No, it is. But now it's. Now you
I think
go
I'm
going
to go by
can't go
Bill.
Back, you can't go back to Bill now. No.
I'm going to.
And Bill Mitchell. They go who? You go. You know, I played Bill. Quarterback at University of Utah.
No,
I hold the record for passing yards and touchdowns at the University of Utah.
It's like Billy Mitchell.
That sounds like you were. Well, I guess it's about right though. I'm like, you know, if you were the mid 1980s Scott Mitchell at the University of Utah, you could have been Billy Mitchell all day.
All that my teammates like, at the Lions, that's what they called me, Billy Mitchell.
Billy Mitchell sounds like you would have had a handlebar mustache, and you were pitching middle relief for the Cleveland Indians.
How about Willie or William or Will?
No.
William.
Billy Mitchell. He's William. Up. Billy Mitchell's warming
Welcome
up in the bullpen.
KSL's Unrivaled with William Mitchell.
No, no. If we're going to do that, it's got to be Billy Mitchell. Alex Carey, Billy Mitchell. It sounds like you've, yeah.
Oh, that's not listen. Bad.
Yeah, I think it's, you know what? Unilateral decision, Scott. You're on the next contract you sign with KSL. It's Billy Mitchell.
Billy
Boom.
Mitchell.
Boom. We're moving on with the program here. I wanted to bring something up here, and that is last hour we talked a lot about college football. I'm worried about college football, Scott. I'm worried about the health of
college football.
I am too. And Alabama winning by 30 points last night and putting it on a really good Ohio State team that we thought was a really good Ohio State team is weird because, you know, on the one hand, you tip your cap to Alabama. On the other hand, you go, I guess we missed. I guess we swung and missed when it came to picking teams that were going to be decent games in the college football playoff. Or was the disparity just so big this year? COVID was too tough to overcome in a year like this where you look and you say, what are you going to do this year? And the answer was Alabama's going to be 13-0. They will be challenged by no one their whole season. And it's not because they didn't play a decent schedule. They played their usual tough schedule in the SEC, but they are just going to walk into a national championship, and they're going to win by 4 touchdowns over Ohio State, who, by the way, plays half of the games that they do during the season. So I'm concerned about football because even before this year, throw COVID out, and I think COVID is going to make that disparity even bigger now because you're going to look and say you're going to see teams and programs that are going to have a hard time recovering. I think teams like Penn State, I think teams that are Michigan is not going to be good for a while. It's not just because of Jim Harbaugh. It's because you're seeing something that happened here this year, which was teams going, we can't make this happen. BYU, which we have not talked about, it has this massive shortfall when it comes to money inside these departments. And it's not just going to affect football. It's going to affect sports all across the board. And I wonder what it's going to look like when things start to come up, when the TV rights end up being renewed over the next few years here. It makes a difference. If the Pac-12 is not any good, if the football here out west is not as good as it could be, you're going to have a really hard time convincing America to turn on the TV. We already, even when people are stuck at home, Scott, some of the lowest ratings in the history of college football,
Alex,
all year long.
That what you have to you have to look at this year and just throw it out. You just have to. You can't judge the health and vitality of college football based on this year. Yeah, there was a significant financial hit. A lot of people furloughed, a lot of programs, you know, it was challenging. It was very difficult. But the one thing that's still there, and that's not going away, and that is that football is a very popular sport. It's still very, very popular.
Yes.
So you have that in the corner. Now, is it smart to look at this and say, can we do better in the future? And maybe the future is a consolidation of football. And maybe it is going to an expanded playoff. But you have to remember that all of this is driven by viewership. And I think even viewership changes. And I think the NFL is even recognizing that with, you know, Sean Payton getting slimed on Nickelodeon. Really, I mean, it's going to take going.
That's very hit and miss. It's very hit and miss. Some people were not pleased at all.
Well, because it's a change. It's something new. But they've got to look at what that looks like and how streaming services are. Because I'm just telling you, a lot of people. I don't have cable television. I don't. I everything I do is streamed.
Same. Absolutely.
And I like it. But I want to watch my football and those sports, and so I'll have a service that provides that for me. I'm not going to miss out on that. I think what's happening is there's a change, and I think if people are smart enough and they'll realize the change is better for everyone if more people are involved in the party. It really is not. I watched the national championship game because it was kind of when we're doing our show. But I guarantee you a lot of people just go, yeah, whatever, Alabama's going to win it again, and they won it again, and it wasn't even close, and that's not good for college football. It's just not.
Right.
So people need to figure out how to make it more competitive, more entertaining, and a lot bigger of a pie, an audience that will engage in the sport, and I think it's there. I think it's possible. I think one of the things you realized was when these football programs couldn't play, the impact it had on so many other sports in these colleges and what that impact looked like, and especially these programs that are non-Power 5 programs or some of the Group of 5 or even some of the Power 5 schools, if we can't generate that revenue through football, it's going to affect our entire sports division. So they got to figure out, and they've already acknowledged that – you know, being able to have that income is going to help these teams. And so they'll figure a way to make football relevant so that kind of everyone exists in the swimming pool of college athletics.
I just wonder too, when you look at programs like, when you look at USC, when you look at Oregon and you look at Washington, those have been like the most recent, either they're the winners of the Pac-12 or they're the ones who are always talked about in the West. That's certainly USC's deal, and I wonder if you know, I think your Utahs and your Colorados look and they go, hey man, we're taking advantage of the fact that these teams are kind of down. USC's not, you know, struggling with Clay Helton or whatever. But the reality is that I think that it's better for USC to be as good as possible. Make them that top of the make Oregon great again and USC great again, and then Utah ends up having to get back up to that level as well. And Kyle Whittingham answers the call. Anytime that happens, anytime Washington is really, really, really good, Utah shows up and goes, hey man, we're going to give you a fight, and they do it. And so I want the best version of those teams back again. I want,
you know,
three
the
or four
SEC's
teams.
Not that good, Alex.
It's very top heavy. It's very top heavy.
But Alabama makes it better.
Yeah, well, look, the ACC's really not that great at all, but Clemson has been the winner of the national championship two out of the last 3 years, and so or two out of the last 4 years. So
and
I
then
think
you
that,
start talking about teams like North Carolina,
right?
Even Virginia, and they get some recognition where you go, they're not really that good, you know. But having an elite program in your conference,
it makes
definitely
a difference.
Makes a difference.
And so if you have a couple, then people go, hey, now. And then if you have a third or a fourth, then you're talking about actually being in that conversation again. Let's take the break here. When we come back, we got more to go. Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television is going to join us next. Old JJ.
Old JJ.
He made a mistake last night, and that was, we got to talk more about this some other time. And we said, oh. And then he said, and we got to talk about the Jazz tomorrow night. And they won by 30 tonight. So JJ is going to show up, kind of break these things down for us. It's all next right here on KSL's Unrivaled KSL News.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Curie, and I believe we have Jeremiah Jensen safely quarantined in a studio all by himself. Mm. It's a soundproof studio where he doesn't know the answers beforehand before we actually talk to him.
The old $64,000 question there, JJ. Yeah. A little bonus on the evening, if you can get it all right. All right. Yes, welcome back. KSL's Unrivaled. Scott?
I think that would be fun.
It would be.
Well, no, because we were talking about trivia, and that you were touting JJ as like the trivia master of all things.
I love trivia.
Here's the thing. JJ would be, because I'm, look, not to brag, Grapevine Middle School, sixth grade geography bee champion.
Nice.
Right? Congrats.
Not a problem.
Sixth grade. I was a fifth grade spelling bee champion.
See? We got that covered. But I've said full on, and I know you played in the NFL, fine, Scott. But Jeremiah is, I think, the go-to sports trivia guy. Although Mitch Harper's kind of that guy, too.
Mitch is a BYU.
He's a BYU
anything
guy.
Anything BYU, yes. And Raiders. Yeah, actually, but I would actually respect his entire sports
catalog.
I think. In fact, I'd like to do like a sports Jeopardy thing.
This
with
is what
Mitch.
I'm saying. Not just, but see, Scott and I are kind of both. I'm a you know the 1,000 feet wide and just a couple inches thick here. Emphasis on the wide and thick part. All right, because I'm the chubby guy on the staff, but. I think I would win an overall Jeopardy championship here at KSO.
Wow, that's bold. That's sports. A bold declaration.
It's
Scott.
Not a problem though. I can back it all up. Scott swears that he's the man when it comes to. We've had this argument all day. So I just that, but I was saying as
I just
from
love
a sports,
to compete. That's all.
I know Scott just likes to be on the field.
And I have a width of knowledge myself, and a thickness too.
Look, I'm not petite either. So,
I'm just saying
we've got some big hungry competitors.
Yes.
I think we need to do this.
But again, let's make it for money.
We need to make this happen.
Let's get our bosses in on it. Let's put some money on the line.
I think we should do this on the air and have it like once a week or something.
Look, I'd host it, but I'd actually want to win first. If I get eliminated, then I'll be the Alex to your Alex Trebek. All right, so. Just think about it, JJ.
I'm in. No, I don't.
Whatever
I'm
we can
not,
do
I'm
to get
in.
This thing sponsored too. Like, let's get it on board, man. Let's have you know, just the
maybe it's in honor of the late Alex Trebek.
No, look, it's sponsored by the University of Utah School of Business or something. Until you know, the
1-800 got junk.
Yes. Why not?
Well, a proud sponsor of sports.
Proud sponsor of sports.
Shout out to 1-800 got junk.
There you go. All right, so here's what we're gonna do. Yesterday, you said we should have that discussion, and here we are having that discussion about the state of college football.
Ooh.
And our troll poll tonight asked the question, was this college football season worth it? Was it worth it? Because I think that we've taken a few steps back after we took a step forward with just having the season.
Yeah.
I think we've given a lot of credit to say, let's just have the season. And we had the season, great. But did we take a couple of steps back when it comes to that disparity of the great teams and the teams that are just trying to get by and guard their food at the bowl there?
Yeah, no, that problem still exists. Nothing's changed there. I think you still have three programs that have a chance to win a national championship and nobody else does. I think that's a major problem for college football. You know, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State. And to be honest, I think Ohio State wins it next year. I don't think that's going to change next year. So how do you make the game of college football more competitive?
That's hard.
Right, because, I mean, kids, you know, recruits can go where they want to go.
Sure.
And all the 4- and 5-star guys, they want to go to Alabama, they want to go to Clemson, they want to go to Ohio State because they want to compete for a national championship. And so these programs take all the best kids in the country, and then some other teams get some of the best kids in the country, but it's not balanced, and there's not a system that allows more than those four teams into a playoff. And so, you know, look at March Madness. Okay, what is it that makes March Madness special?
It's possibility of an upset.
Yes.
Anyone can win.
Yes.
Everybody wants to find out who Cinderella is, right?
Yeah.
Ultimately, you have a juggernaut win it, but there's the drama of seeing everything that play itself out. Who wouldn't have wanted to see Cincinnati take a shot at Alabama? Or, you know, why didn't Coastal Carolina get a shot?
Right.
Well, why not? That's the thing. Like, I want somebody. I get why the system didn't allow it. What I don't understand is why won't the system allow it?
Would you have had
what are you afraid of?
Would you have had a better game than 52-24 if Cincinnati was playing?
I'd at least be intrigued to see
Alabama.
How this Coastal Carolina team would do in a situation like that. We didn't even get that. Instead, I watched Florida basically tank a bowl game. you know,
you
Cincinnati for three quarters took it to Georgia and then they blew it, but. Cincinnati proved that they belong.
We talked about how embarrassing the Fiesta Bowl was this year. Yeah,
right. What are we doing here? Like,
here's the challenge.
What's the point of having these big games if guys aren't going to play in them?
Yeah. What the challenge is, I think a little bit too, is that there's this portal, like this transfer portal.
I love the transfer portal.
And it's awesome, it's not changing, you know, it's still not changing anything. Because it's about recruiting, right? And you go, well, Alabama just gets all the best players in the country and so and so and what have you. And then, but not everyone can play at Alabama. Not everyone gets to play at Alabama or any of these programs, and players are moving. And you go, good, that means some of these other programs have a chance. But I don't know that it's really, you know, maybe Joe Burrow transferring to LSU actually said, you know what, someone other than Alabama won, because this kid, and I don't know that he was a guy everyone said, oh, yeah, if he goes to LSU, you know, they're going to win. I don't think anyone saw that happening. But there's the ability to have it happen. So I think having these players get a chance to move around, maybe that makes an impact. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. But then it's I really think you have to expand the playoffs and to create what you're talking about, Jeremiah.
100%.
So if you could do these two things, and really the bottom line with college football, it's all driven by money. So if you can do these things and make it economically make sense for these schools and for the powers that be in college football, then I think you can. I think you can change it. I think you can expand the interest and the excitement of football, because if you make championships about putting it on the field, it will generate massive interest.
You know, and more money, by the way. The thing they need now.
Remember how they held off on a playoff for the longest time? But they found out that it actually is better and it made them more money.
They knew it. Now, they knew that would happen. The problem was that the powers that are in that BCS system go, yeah, but it's nice to earn this high six-figure income and not – I don't want to mess this thing up.
Those same powers are still there.
I know, but I'm just saying that
– they got to open their eyes.
They don't
want to
shift over because it's like, oh, it's just too much work.
And why? So what? So Coastal Carolina wins a playoff game?
Right.
And all of a sudden, these programs don't have a hold on things anymore? Nah. It would make it more interesting. It would make it more compelling.
JJ, Jazz win by 30 tonight. I'm assuming we're going to see some of those highlights.
You will see some of that, and if you're a Jazz fan, you'll enjoy that. They played really well tonight.
Also, some news with the Jazz with their game tomorrow night. That we will not be seeing the Jazz play.
The not game.
The non-game tomorrow. So,
hey, first place in Northwest Division.
There you go.
Scott looking for the silver lining. Taking the break here. JJ, thanks for hanging out. Sports Beat tonight, KSL 5, Channel 5. You're going to see news at 10. JJ, 10:26-ish? Yeah, right around there. All right, perfect. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go right here. Wrapping things up next on the program.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium Grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and
the other guy.
It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Troll poll of the day. You can go get onto Twitter and find our poll question. Here's what it is. I'll read it exactly from the Twitter, Scott, since we haven't been banned from Twitter yet.
Well, you haven't.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, some of us haven't. Do you think the college football season was worth playing this year? Yes or no? I said it earlier, and honestly, I know your vote is, nah, not really. I am going with the yes, and the majority of the people who voted have said yes as well. Just from a very selfish standpoint, Scott, that I got to watch it on the weekends. So I had something to do instead of actually having to engage with my kids at a different level. We got to watch football together, and it's a win-win for me, Scott, as a parent. I got to watch the games, and I got to pretend like I was spending time with my kids.
Yeah, but okay.
What?
No, it's just people. I don't think the teams were in it. I don't think it was worth it. Most of the teams, whatever.
You're gonna Scott, have you know this is for us. You know the college football season's for you and me, though. They do this just
maybe
for us.
For you. But I just don't think folks were into it.
Did you, like, when you got done with the broadcast, were you driving home and just going, I mean, just be honest. Were you driving home and you were just like, that was so dumb?
Every game was weird. No question about it. Yeah, you're just like, where
every
are the fans?
Every game was weird.
No, well, yeah, I mean,
well,
we,
I think about them
we
playing
broadcast
like Colorado
every game.
And you're at Rice-Eccles Stadium,
right.
And then you leave an empty stadium. It's
we're
weird.
In the dark. We're the only people, literally, us and a janitor. And I kid you not, they brought a janitor
dude, you better get that
into
guy on.
The building.
You better get
so.
That guy on doing post-game with you next time.
And he's the guy that has the big keychain.
Oh,
know?
Yeah,
he's got,
it
he's
jangles.
He's got a big keychain. Oh, where, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to let you down the elevator. You know, just like... But the stadium was under construction. Oh. It just was weird.
Yeah.
No fans.
Still worth it.
They
still
ran out on the side area, and it was like dirt, you know, for construction dirt.
Well,
we came on the field.
We talked about it a little bit already. I'm just saying that's where we're at with the poll. Most people agree with me, as usual, Scott. They've done their homework. They're smart.
We love those people. Whatever.
So with the NFL roundup, I wanted to start off with this one. Last week, I mean, the Browns were, and I think it's a lot of hyperbole. They're acting like everything that they did, no one believed them at all. But I'm going to say, honestly, about half the people that I talked to were like, yeah, the Browns are going to win this game. And look, the Steelers were not this unbeatable juggernaut. You know, when they beat the Chiefs, then I'll kind of go, hold on a minute, with the Browns. But when everybody acts like, yeah, no one gave us a shot, I'm like, Baker Mayfield, pump the brakes on that a little bit, because there were a lot of people that felt like the Browns were due.
Well, the Browns have talent. I think it's more of, are the Browns going to live up to what the talent level they have? I mean, they are a good football team. And are they going to be the same old Browns and do the same old things that all these other teams did? It's one thing to like go, yeah, I think, you know, we might have a shot. It's another thing when you have the pieces in place. Like when I played with really good players, you just don't replace them with someone else, you know? And so the Browns have really good football players, and they're a young team that's really learning and developing and figuring out how to win.
So right off the bat, they also credited a lot of the trash talking that the Steelers did to why they had a lot of success. I mean, they were trash talking before, during, and after the game, especially because they won, because Juju Smith-Schuster, Chase Claypool, some of these other Pittsburgh Steelers were just like, the Browns stink, man. The Browns are the Browns. The Browns are going to do what
Alex,
Browns
do. Alex, you know,
do.
I think that talking trash stuff is so overrated.
It is. It totally is.
And you know
is.
How it's overrated? It's like you either show up with intensity to play and you get yourself ready to play. I don't care what it is that motivates you to get ready to play, but whether you say things or don't say things off the field and if someone's motivated by something you said, well, they're motivated, right? And all you have to do is not sit there and go, oh, yeah, I'm unmotivated this game because, you know, I trash-talked and,
yeah,
they're just going to win. And it's a bunch of BS. You have to show up ready to play every week, and you have to show up with an urgency, with some intensity, with
some
passion for the game.
So the Browns are like, hey, they were trash-talking us a ton, and we took that as motivation. And you one thing you do believe in is that teams do get motivation from all sources and any sources they can. Well, Chase Claypool, who lost to the Browns this last week, on his channel, he gets on there and he's got, at any given time, he'll get online and he'll have 30,000 people who stream with him because he games on there on this site. He gets on and he has these discussions. Chase Claypool, rookie, by the way, this year for the Steelers. Here's what he had to say on his channel yesterday.
You know, a bad loss, but Browns are going to get clapped next week, so it's all good.
So that little thing.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Why?
Oh, are you kidding me? Because what does it say about you? Oh, they killed us this week, but they're going to get killed next week.
It's all good, man. It's
all
good.
Wow, it's like, no, it's not all good.
Yeah, whatever happened to that? That's exactly right, Scott. Whatever happened to the days when if you got beat by a team, you're like, I want them to win the rest of the time because it makes us look good.
You just don't say anything like that. You just say, you say, look, maybe you go, I should do less gaming. I should do less stuff on my channel. I should do more focus and get myself ready to play. The snap over Ben Roethlisberger's head was not just some freak, like, fluky thing. It was a mindset. It was an attitude. It was whatever's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's not about winning football games. It's not about winning championships. It's not about winning against the Cleveland Browns. There's some kind of, whether it's chemistry or something going on inside that locker room on a day-to-day basis that has this team
but listen,
not ready to play football
Can you
games.
Draw
motivation. Are you allowed to draw motivation by trash talk by somebody who you beat last week, though?
I'm
still talking trash about you this week.
No. There's a lot of guys have made careers. Aaron Rodgers is just mad at the world all the time.
Yeah.
And so,
anybody says anything anywhere, and he will take it as an offense so that he can get jacked up.
Michael
for the game.
Jordan did not want, if you said, Michael Jordan doesn't need to be motivated by anybody or anything. He found ways to invent trash talking to motivate himself.
Michael Jordan's third in the league in free throws this year. He's like, I'm going to get fouled a ton this game. I got to write
and
that.
And I'll shoot my foul shots with my eyes closed. But my point earlier, Alex, was you have to find whatever gets you motivated to play. And so if you've trash talked and it motivates the other team, you better come out ready to be motivated and play against a team that's going to be fired up to play against you.
Let's mow through some of these other stories here, Scott.
There is one I want to mow through.
Tell me what it is.
You know, I feel really bad about Doug Peterson and being fired from the Eagles.
No, my goodness.
But you know where the best place for him to go would be the New York Jets.
Are you kidding?
I after thinking through this, yes. And you know why?
That's a place that'll fire him in two seasons also. No, they don't care.
No. He's a guy who went to a place no one gave him any kind of shot. Not a shot in Philadelphia. And he very quietly went about his business and he figured out how to kind of win.
Right.
Right? And so he's the perfect guy for the Jets because there isn't an expectation there. There's people won't even notice he's even there. I'm just telling you.
He's going to the number one media market.
No, I understand
and
that.
He, and he rid himself of the whole Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts thing at least.
But here's the he's a good coach with quarterbacks and could be really good for a guy like Sam Darnold or if they draft a guy.
Like Zach Wilson.
Perfect.
Come on,
perfect
man.
Spot.
Look, I will say this. If Doug Peterson goes there, there's
a immediate... If I was Zach Wilson, I'd love to have Doug Peterson as my head coach.
Now, look.
Love it.
Imagine this. Doug Peterson gets fired by Philadelphia. He gets hired by the Jets. Suddenly, it's the most stable thing that the Jets have done in a long time.
I think it could be perfect.
It's hilarious. All right, let's take the break here.
Perfect.
We'll come back. We've got our two-minute drill wrap of the show up next. Stay with us. It's KSL's Unraveled on KSL News Radio. Hope you have as much fun as we do.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, final segment of the night. And there was something that we didn't get to in our NFL roundup.
What are you
Alex.
Talking about?
I think I want to I think I would want to do this.
You're going to go back and what is it? What is
it? Well, no, it's apparently Aaron Rodgers is going to guest host Jeopardy. And
what?
Of course, yeah, it's a thing.
I could see him doing that.
Well, he was on it in 2015 as like a celebrity.
How did he do?
He won.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, but I would love to be either the host of Jeopardy or a contestant. Like, I really think I'm that smart. I do. I play the game. I win about 72% of the time, and I have the answers.
The thing is, I had a friend in college who went on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He actually won, I think it was $32,000. He got to the $250,000 question, and then because he rolled the dice on it, maybe $64,000, but he ended up going back because he missed it, so he went back $64,000. One of the smartest guys I know, and he's like, yeah, when you do the show, it's actually kind of weird because you're just taping a TV show.
Right.
You realize it's for entertainment. And the people that I've heard talk about Jeopardy are like, they all know the answer almost all the time. All those guys. It's just about who rings that dadgum buzzer
just get,
first.
They get in the rhythm of the buzzer.
And it's so funny to me because it's actually on Netflix right now. All the Jeopardies are on Netflix.
See, and that's why I think I'd be good.
The Tournament of Champions
I have great reflexes, Alex.
It's one of the great things. Scott, go on Netflix and watch the Tournament of Champions. It's this cool thing because you're like, Alex Trebek, Juan is no longer with us, and he was the best at his gig. And the Tournament of Champions are the best people who've ever played. And anyway, I saw that. Did you see that Ken Jennings is taking, or at least like interim, like taking over for him? And he just gave a cool thing when he got out on stage and was just like, nobody can replace him. He was basically perfect at this show. And he was. He never missed like delivery, how to do things. He almost never missed on any of that stuff. Plus, yeah, I don't know. He's the consummate pro. So at least Ken Jennings, former BYU grad, just, you know, he threw it out there and was just like, look, I'll fill in for a minute here, but Alex Trebek is the best that's ever been at this, and no one's ever going to beat him at doing this. So I see what you're saying. I love watching Jeopardy.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And I'm pretty sure that I'd beat you at Jeopardy. But what's that laugh?
Because I have ninja reflexes.
It's not about that, though.
It is. No, you just said it's not about knowing
the amount of geography and world history that I know. I mean, I'm telling you, buddy.
I know it all.
Okay.
I
can't wait.
No, I've been to most places, and the places I haven't been to, I know where they are.
Yeah. It's not about that. Listen. And old literature. I mean, I'm all over it.
Oh, you bring on the lit. I'm ready for it. Yeah.
All right. Oh, we got to play our music here, Scott. It's the end of the show, so that means we got to get into the 2-minute drill. Explain to the people what the 2-minute drill is here, Scotty.
Well, you got to go down the field late in the game, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you got to hurry your show. Same way, we have a lot still to talk about because you know we talk a lot during the show, so we have to talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry down the show, win the show, go home happy, get a trophy, and wear our mask.
There you go.
Because we're socially
respectable, all those things.
Respectable.
Okay. Boy, now we have to have a KSL's Unrivaled Jeopardy tournament.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. Look, you and I would definitely beat most of the TV department. I'm trying to think if anybody would even touch our trivia skills.
You know all those TV people. They're just pretty faces, right?
Yeah.
They read stuff. They're
good
not,
Jeremiah just, already walked out of the studio, but yes. No, but JJ knows. JJ is the most sports trivia buff in the entire building. Like, he's an encyclopedia. You know your sports, okay. Jeremiah has it all memorized. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. There is some real...
No.
Okay.
Do you know what I have on all of you people?
Way too much
I
ego.
I have a life experience, baby. Like, I'm older. Like I know... Like, you go, yeah, I don't really remember that. And I'm like, oh, really? Oh,
my kid asked me the other day, did you guys have paper towels when you were growing up? And I was like, what is going on? I hate kids. All right, Scotty, first one up on the 2-minute drill here. Manny Ramirez, fall from grace is finally complete. He was waived by the Sydney Blue Sox of the Australian Baseball League. Pretty tough to be waived by an Australian Baseball League considering that they don't play it there, like, at all. So,
you know, I have to wonder, I didn't know they played baseball in Australia.
There's that part of, do you remember on Field of Dreams when Kevin Costner's describing, he's like... talking about Shoeless Joe Jackson after he's been blackballed from baseball.
Right.
He goes, my dad said he saw him kicking around like a single A, you know, a wood bat league in Eastern Kentucky. He said he put on about 50 pounds, but he could still hit. Remember that whole thing? It was
right.
Just like, yeah, there's some guys who are just like, look, I don't care what's going on. This is what I do, you know? And so, and if you don't have to totally hang it up, like Scott, if after you had been done playing, for the love of the game, would you have just gone and played for, you know, a tenth of the money to be able to go play at?
I would have gone and played probably for nothing. Really, really. I for a long time had dreams about it. Like, I actually got to go back and play, and there was nothing about money that was even in any of the dreams.
Oh, really? Interesting.
It was just that I got to go back and be a part
of
it.
For the love of the game,
and just to be there, and that's really what anyone. They just miss being there with the guys in the locker room above anything else.
Scott,
I guarantee if you ask 100 guys, 100 guys would say that.
Would say that'd be there what they do.
Yeah.
So, look, can you blame Manny Ramirez? The answer is no.
No, heck no.
But if you get cut, then you go, yeah, maybe it's time. Yeah. Scott,
does anyone really care? I mean, no one really cares.
No, that's right. The 2021 Masters, Augusta National, it's going to be in April, the usual deal. They're going to have limited number of people attending this thing. They're going to have limited fans, so some of the patrons are going to be there, and some fans are going to be allowed on the ground. Scott, should we try to make our return to watching live sports, you and I taking a trip on KSL's dime to Augusta
to
National.
The Masters? Oh, are you kidding? Yeah.
Should we try it?
Actually, we should go and go early. Well, I don't
like
know that it matters
before,
now. No. You go for like the practice round.
Yes,
that's
yes,
kind
yes,
of
yes.
When it's
I mean,
cool
that's the one we could probably really legitimately afford, you know? It's like,
Oh, you never know. yeah, that would be amazing.
Let's get one of those bunkhouses there on just outside.
Well,
of,
I mean, if there's
the
not
Masters.
That many people going, you know, there's probably an opportunity.
And we finally get to that pimento cheese sandwich that you've always.
What was cool about what you just said, though, is you're talking about the Masters because they already have commercials for it on television.
It's four months away, 3.5 months away,
right? And that's the cool thing is because we just had it
and
right,
it's three
in November,
and, a half
months
away.
It's
amazing.
So it's almost a 2-for-1 on the Masters.
It is. So there you go. We'll figure out trying to get there. And then finally, Scott, as we wrap things up here, Kyrie Irving has been seen in videos partying indoors with other folks there. The NBA is very, very, very serious about people not breaking the rules, people not messing around, and the Nets are not messing around either, and the NBA is not messing around. Kyrie Irving, no timetable to return because he's just as flaunting the rules, not caring what the guidelines are.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, especially from someone who's had COVID. Like, you just don't want to get it, and you don't want to give it to anyone, and you really want to, you just want to be considerate of the things that will actually minimize the spread of it, and hopefully, you know, end it. When you're someone that is paid millions of dollars, and not only that, but it's your job, and you're just blatantly like just thumbing your nose at your employer, you know, that's unacceptable. It's beyond unacceptable, and you shouldn't do it even if you're just average Joe Citizen. But average Joe Citizen, some people go, I'm not wearing a mask, I'm not doing this, and there are a lot of people that go, you know, you should be considerate of people. But when it's your personal life, great. But when you're out representing someone, and they're paying you handsomely.
Yes.
Yeah, you gotta have
play
some
by
more
the rules,
respect.
Man.
Serious.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and just from like your teammate standpoint, just do what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Because you saw the rift that it caused between Donovan and Rudy. You know, Donovan was furious
that and he wasn't really flaunting it. Think about how wild it is that nowadays Kyrie Irving's doing this. You know, and he could be going on just doing. And yet, at the same time, Rudy Gobert was absolutely blasted. The guy got death threats. All right. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us tonight. Scott, did you have fun on the show tonight?
I had a blast, Alex. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Every night's fun.
All right. So we'll be back again tomorrow night. Another edition of KSL's Unrival. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you then, everybody.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.